2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to talk about this evening, preach to you about the supply and demand. Supply and demand. God supplies all our needs, but He also does much more than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It'd be helpful if I got in 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8. And again, you know the background, I'm sure, of this, but Paul has written a letter to the church at Corinth, and he wrote a first letter that was really a rebuking or a correcting letter. And the second letter is more of an encouraging letter, and he's trying to help them and encourage them and direct them down the right path. But he makes mention of several things here in chapter 8. Notice what he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, in your love to us, seeing that ye abound in this grace also, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Notice, jump down to verse 14, if you will. But by an equality, that not now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, we'll talk about this evening looking at the supply and demand. And as we go through, as we look at that, God is very clear to us in Scripture that He supplies all of our needs, and it's not always in the way that we would imagine it or think about it. He does supply every need that we have. Sometimes, if you're like me, though, I do confuse a want and a need, and I get them a little bit confused. I get them a little bit mixed together in a gray area. And God does a wonderful job of the Holy Spirit of reminding me through the Word of God and through prayer of really delineating or differentiating between the two of what it is. And that's very careful or very important, and to be careful of a Christian to do just that very thing. As we said this morning about that, nevertheless, our prayer should be that way of the according to the will of God. You know that, but according to the will of God. Lord, I desire this, but what is your will for me? What is it for me? And that's what we ought to be praying, and that's what we ought to do. Now, Paul speaks to here in this portion of Scripture to the church, and he's describing how that other churches have given to help them, and they should do the same, vice versa. He talks later to the church at Philippi, how that God shall supply all your need, and He'll take care of you. Now, in that context, he's talking about their giving, necessarily. Their giving, how they give. If you give properly, God will take care of you. Now, as we see this throughout Scripture, very clearly that Paul makes it clear that what we put first, what we prioritize, ought obviously to be that of the work and the things of God. And I feel very sorry for a lot of believers or Christians because they do not put God first. They just don't. And no matter how you slice it, they just don't put God first. They claim to be Christians, and I'm sure they're saved, but they may be very immature Christians if they're not keeping Christ first. And just the basics of it, ABCs of Christianity, that would be of church attendance, that would be of giving, that would be of basic Bible reading, study, memorization, that would be of obviously witnessing, or if you're not good at witnessing, you'd obviously inviting folks to church, whatever avenue you use by way of social media or mailing them a card or whatever the case is. But those are the ABCs of it. And a lot of people don't have that. And we think about that, misprioritization of the things of God. And one of the areas that we ought to be very careful about and in this is that of our supply. God will supply everything we need. God will give us everything we need. Very clear in Scripture. You and I are not to really want anything. You remember the psalmist, as David says, I really don't want anything. We know that that sounds better on paper than it does in reality, because we all really want things all the time. I do. I know that. I want. And God says, no, you can't have that yet. And he's always watching for me. He's always on the outlook. He's always trying to protect me. And I'm so thankful for that. But as we see here throughout this portion of Scripture, he says, I want you to remember, my brethren, I want you to remember and remind yourselves of the grace of God. Remember what God did. Now, you look forward to the other churches, and in particular, a lot of the churches he's talking about, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And you remember what Paul said about that church there? He said how that you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. How you literally sacrificed in order to help me and to help other churches. And we know that principle to be true. And we think about this, that he says, remember the grace of God in your own life before you forget. He reminds us in verse 9 that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. And the truth of it is that there is nothing that God does not own. God owns everything. Right? Jesus Christ, as we studied on Wednesday evening, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow. But he also owns everything, and he created everything. Colossians talks about the creation of Jesus Christ. He created everything that exists. Those things that are visible, those things that are invisible. Very challenging to think about. But the spiritual realm and spiritual world, the power with which Jesus Christ has what he has, and the riches with which he has, owns, and operates. And yet all of that he forsook, didn't he? For what? Our poverty. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He became poor. Again, tonight I'm just trying to encourage all of us, I hope, to think about that. Christ has blessed us so much and taken care of us so richly that we ought to come back to this with the Lord personally in your walk with him. Lord, what is it that I could do to supply for your cause, for your work? What could I do? Supplying. Lord, there is a demand. Okay, well, then I need to supply. There's a supply, now a demand, and so forth and so back and forth. You know that. And we see it. What can I do to supply? What can I do to be a vessel or somebody that you could ultimately use for your honor, for your glory? Now, Paul will later talk to this church and tell them, he says that what? You are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit. Glorify God in all that you are and all that you have. And he reminds them, you're bought with a price. Remember that you are not your own. You are not your own. One of the hardest things to understand, I particularly as a new believer, was that I am no longer my own. And as a human being, we have a very hard time letting go of or relinquishing the power over our own bodies and over our own beings. I mean, you just try and tell somebody what to do and see what they say, right? Go ahead and go do this or go do that. It's very difficult for us as human beings to give up that power or that control of our own selves. Yet God says, I want you to give up your own self, and I want to give up everything that you think that is yours. Let go and let God. I like that. Let go and let God and let him have it. And you will be amazed at what God will do with not only your own life and own body, but with the things you own. Right? That's just talking about here. The supply. He says, now remember, folks, you were supplied with what you needed because of other people, because of others that worked tirelessly and labored in all of this. Now, he goes through and he says again in verse 14, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That works out pretty good, doesn't it? And when God blesses each one of us in some form or fashion, again, it's never for us, it's for him, right? And it's, again, easy to say, hard to do, but it's never for us, it's for him. And when we have an abundance, well, there's somebody that has poverty. There's somebody that doesn't have, it goes without. And he says, when you have the abundance, it's for the reason of supplying their want. This is really the wonderful picture that Paul gives throughout the book of 2 Corinthians. He starts out the book and he says that, listen, you've gone through some difficulty and trials, not so that you can sit, sulk, and sour about it, but that you can put your arm around somebody else and comfort them. And the word he uses repeatedly in the first few chapters is comfort. God's allowed you to go through something so that you can comfort others. You don't waste the comfort, you don't waste the trial. You use it to help other people. You use it to encourage other people. The great picture given, I heard of a grandfather that was walking a pathway, and they said, how many times have you walked this path from your house to this, wherever he goes, to the store or whatever? He said, oh, I've walked it probably 1,000 times. I've walked it 1,000 times. And they said, well, what's the point of that? He said, well, predominantly that I can get some exercise, but then he said, chuckling with a little, smile, he said, I also walk this path so that I can show other people a shortcut. And they thought about that for a minute, said, oh, that's common sense, that makes sense. But he says, I walk this path so I can show other people a shortcut. Not everybody knows about the shortcut to the store. And the whole idea behind that of we're walking a path so that we can make it almost easier for the people behind us, right? So that we can say, now kids, you don't got to take the long route. You don't got to mess up prior to marriage. It's a mess, okay? You're going to have a lot of problems in your marriage later on. You kids, you don't got to deal with these. You don't have to forsake certain things in order to gain certain things. And you don't, sacrifice those things in order to get whatever you want. But anyways, talking about, listen, I want to help the people behind me. And Paul says, I want you to remember that you've been blessed with the abundance in your life in order to supply their want. Now, supply indicates there's a lack thereof, right? There's a lack, some kind of lacking. I need some supplies. Supplies. You may deal with that, I don't know, on a regular basis. I think about a housewife. She daily deals with that. Goes through the pantry and the kids go through it so quick, don't they? Through the fridge and go through all the food so quickly, it seems like. And she has to sit down and think about, okay, well, this is what we need and this is what we want. I've gone to the store before and on a rare occasion, but I've gone and just going through and you don't even have a list, you don't have a plan, nothing. You're just picking stuff, And I got home and she said, you got all junk food. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I felt like. That was a good idea. Right? No, that was not a good date. She said, we can't live on that. We go through with a list. We go through it. And you see, my wife does that. I mean, she's got a detailed list. She crosses it off. She's got her little phone with her notes on her phone. She's crossing stuff off and making sure of everything. And she's making sure now, if I am sent in the future, that I have a detailed list with me. As you think about, though, we see, he says, now there's a supply. You got some things wanting that you need to supply. And he says, there's people out there that have wants or have needs, excuse me, and ones, but needs in particular, that need something from you. Notice what he says, that there may be equality. Equality. Now again, that word is thrown around today. You know that often it's thrown around in our society today, especially. We need equality. And even the word, they even use the word equity, which is, I don't know why they use that word, but they talk about equality. We need equality. Everyone needs equal rights. Everybody needs an equal play. Everyone needs an equal hand in the system. And again, the old joke goes that the kids today in Little League and sports, they all get a participation trophy, right? And back in the day, you didn't get that. If you lost, you lost. If you were a bad team, you were bad. If you were lousy at basketball, you were lousy. And they made no bones about it, right? They made sure you knew that. And you think about equality. But Paul's speaking about here. Now, we must remember the brotherhood of believers. The brotherhood of believers. He goes and says, you need the equality, that those that are in their abundance would be able to supply their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. And oh, how we could work together. I think about this often, but I wish we would work a little bit better in our brotherhood of church planting and missions. I wish we'd work a little bit better at trying to be better at that, helping others in a more efficient way. I think we could do it much more efficiently. And, you hate to rock the boat sometimes of the establishment, but I think we could do it a little bit better. I think we could help plant churches in a more efficient way than sometimes in which we do even today. And by way of this, helping in certain areas and working together in churches together and missions together and saying, what are the specifics of what you need right now? And how can we help? And I appreciate those churches that support us, and we support our missionaries and church planters as well. But I think about that. What are the things that you need right now? What are your wants right now? And how can we help in doing so? Now he goes on to speak of this in many other ways. And he goes on in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1 in particular. Before I mess the verse up, let me turn over there. Philippians 1, he talks about that. And he goes through and says that God will take care of you. God will be careful with you, and he will supply all of your needs and all of your wants. And to think through that. Now, he goes through that in chapter 1, but he also, I'm thinking about chapter 4, aren't I? Yes, I am. I'm thinking about chapter 4. And he says you can do all things through Christ. You can do all of it. You can understand all of it. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, again, we think about this church in Philippi is a little different. Paul references this church as a church that was a real crown and joy to him. Corinth was as well, but he had more of a struggle with them, and Philippians was a little bit different. As Paul came through, and we go through the book of Acts in our Bible Institute, but you remember what happened at Philippi, and he got the Philippian jailer and some other, there were some ladies meeting together that he got, and there was a little girl, a teenage girl that was demon-possessed and that they were using as to profit off of. She would go around and, you know, give her prophecy of what was going on, and he got her out of that. And there's just a little group of believers there at Philippi, and Paul is trying to encourage them to give properly and to help establish other churches as well. And he says when you do give properly, when you are really seeking to supply the needs that are there, that are wanting, he says God will supply it, and he'll supply all your need according to his riches. Now remember that. Now the King James uses the word need singular. A lot of the other versions may have changed a little bit, but it's saying need, okay? The need you have. And God is willing here to supply the very need you have right in front of you. And it's done according to his riches in glory. It's God's doing. And if we would let go and let God and let God do his things, I said this morning how many things that we miss out or I miss out on because, again, I don't seek him properly. I don't pray properly. Lord, give, help me and lead me and guide me, O ye of little faith. And when we have a little God, we have little faith in a little God. And God says we have a big God, a great God that will supply all your needs. Joshua was there on the banks looking down into the valley with all of the mighty army behind him. And they were a ragtag group of people. They didn't have a lot of weapons. They had some things that they fashioned, obviously some swords and spears and other things. As they looked down into the valley there, they saw mighty armies and a fortified city of Jericho. And you think about that. And he said, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, well, I'll supply your need. Yeah, Lord, we don't have all the weaponry that we need. He said, I'll supply your need. He said, Lord, you know that we're not very good at what we've not fought in warfare in many, many years. We're a group of people that are trying to get into the problem. He says, I know, I put you here. I'll supply you. And what they do, they went down there with really no weapons at all and marched around that city. Those walls fell down. You go through and Joshua goes through many battle campaigns throughout his tenure as leadership of the nation of Israel. And he does just the same thing. And he goes through and he says, Lord, and the one time he didn't seek the Lord, you remember what happened, right? They came to him and tried to deceive him. And the one time he didn't seek the Lord. And the Lord said, you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me. And it caused a lot of problems, didn't it? But Joshua went forward. So many people throughout Scripture, again, talked about, Lord, you've got to supply our need. Now, we have different needs today. We know that. Different needs from what these churches went through. We have needs today of so many things that people don't understand. I feel so sorry for our generation today. We're so bombarded with so many things by way of technology. We're bombarded with immorality constantly around us. We're bombarded with trying to follow the waves of the world and keep focused on certain things that we shouldn't, right? We know that. I feel sorry for the generation behind us as well. They're going to have it even worse. But he says here, I'm going to give you what you need. And what I say this often, but what comforts me again so often throughout as I get sometimes a little anxious or whatever it would be that God says, remember, this Bible will still be around long after you're gone. The same Bible, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith. It's all the same, and it'll be here long after we're gone and buried out back right here. Amen. Okay. We know that, and think about it. And he says, as I've supplied the needs, and as I have supplied for God's people throughout his time, I'll supply just for you. What has God laid on your heart maybe recently about giving? What's he laid upon your heart recently about, Lord, I could do more to supply for somebody else or for something else? I know that there's needy people out there all around us. I know that. And it's easy to fall into maybe more of a charitable type of organization or ministry. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should be doing that. But I think about that. I gave a guy $5 the other day on the side of the road with a cardboard sign, and I thought it was a girl. It wasn't a girl. And she came up and said, thank you very much. And I said, oh, okay, there you go. And you think about those people that are hurting out there, that are really messed up. How can we help those people? What can we do? And God says, I'll help you and show you and guide you. I'm thinking about our new year and our new year theme, and I've been praying about that. Lord, how we can increase and how we can do more in reaching our communities and what we can do better. I don't know. It's such a challenge, isn't it, sometimes? I mean, the door knocking or putting the flyers, those things, they're good to do, but I don't know if we're seeing a lot of fruit in certain areas of that. What can we do, Lord, in certain ways like that? God says, I'll supply, I'll show you what to do if you'll listen. If you'll listen. If you'll keep your nose clean and your head focused, your eyes focused, I'll show you what to do. And again, that's what he'll do. As I'm praying about the new year and thinking about all of that, Lord, you've got to supply our need. You've got to do that. And again, I just remind you that God didn't bring us this far just to bring us this far, right? Sometimes we come to the end of it and go, well, Lord, I don't know what to do now. He's brought us this far because he's going to do something extra. He's going to do something great. He didn't bring your marriage this far along just to bring it this far. And I just feel so sorry for people. They're married for 20, 30, 40 years and they quit. It's like, what'd you do that for? You know? Or they get the kids up grown and everything else and the kids quit. You know, what'd you do that for? God didn't bring us this far just to put us here. And sometimes if we grow, if we're going forward, we need to just focus on growing and keep moving forward. We need to keep pushing forward, even if sometimes it's just by inches. And just, we didn't do much. We did a little bit. Hey, that's good. You keep motivated. Keep going. Now, again, let me wrap it up here with this last point. That God supplies everything for us. And when we have an abundance, which times we will, it is for that of supplying the need, supplying the wants of the people around us, helping to do that, helping to further the work of God, helping to further the gospel, helping to plant other churches, helping to support other missionaries around the world. I got a good missionary letter last week, and I hope to read it to you on Wednesday. A wonderful letter from one of our missionaries and said that they've got some things answered to prayers, and they're getting settled. They got some things in order, and it was just encouraging. And he made mention of it, and he said, it's because of your church, Pastor Tim, and the people there that have you supported us. Now, I know he sent that to many, many churches and pastors that support him. But he made it a point to say to us, made it a personal letter, and I appreciated that, and said thank you. But to think about that, we're a small church making, maybe we think, a small impact, but that's not true. Yet we see that, you know. God's blessed some of you and some of us with some abundance in certain areas. And that's for us to what? To go forward and see, Lord, where could I help out? What could I do? What is it that I could do? And again, he mentions so many of these things. Oh, I don't have time for all the verses here tonight. But thinking about it, do you have an area in your life that you say, I could supply that want? I could do something there to fill that gap. The Lord walked through and to and fro. And in the most horrible time in the nation of Israel, well, the most horrible time is coming very soon for the nation of Israel, but during that time in the book of Ezekiel, and you know what he said to him? He said, I sought for a man, singular, a man among them. Ezekiel 22. And then he says, I found none. Not one person. Not one person that was willing to get their pride out of the way and get their high horse down and say, what? I'll go Lord. You say, Brother Tim, I don't have nothing to give. I can't give it. Yeah, that's why Paul references or clarifies, I should say, excuse me, Romans 12, to present your body. You got that. You're the only one that owns that, aren't you? You say, Lord, here it is, tattered and torn and worn and weary, but take it. Take my life and let it be, Lord, for your use. As you think about Ezekiel and he says, I look for one person, just a man. A man I can use to make up the hedge, stand in the gap. Then he says what? But I found none. And now the wrath of God must fall. The judgment of God must fall. And we know that. We will work our dead level best and tirelessly throughout the next however long God allows us to live on this earth until he returns or calls us home. We'll work tirelessly and then we'll finally stop. And say what? Lord willing, it'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We know that it's going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The end time apostasy of the local church, we know that. We don't have this pie in the sky type of atmosphere or attitude about us. But we do understand. We'll go ahead and work tirelessly, even though we know it'll get worse and worse. And we'll do our part. We'll do our best. And one of the aspects of that is truly, Lord, how can I supply? Lord, you'll supply my need, and in return, how can I supply whatever it is for you? How can I be a blessing? What can I do? How can I supply this month of November as we look at this, primarily the Thanksgiving, as we focus in on Thanksgiving, and how we can be more thankful? Obviously, we always come to that. What can we can do better? And he says to the church there at Thessalonica, you know that, what's he say? Be thankful in everything. Always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. In the good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, another statement made that sounds good on paper, but hard to do. And we think about that. But as we go forward in our thanksgiving, we can supply. We can do something. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I leave you with this statement tonight, and I want to encourage you with it this week, if you could pray it with me. Lord, how can I supply a want? How can I supply a want? I don't know what I could do. I may not have money. I may not have the things that maybe people look for. I don't know, Lord. I don't want to just gravitate towards that, towards materialism or money. Lord, how can I supply a want of someone else or something else? What can I do? How can I do it? Now we'll look at this again more next week. Encouraged by this, studied throughout the scriptures of every church that Paul went through and planted, he reminded them of almost the same thing and encourage them with the same thing of trying to do their best to just seek the Lord. Do it God's way and God's will, and you won't regret it. If we're here tonight, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're here where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be here. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And when we do that, God takes care of us. And God supplies everything we need. God supplies everything we want. Again, I have everything I want beyond the need. That's exactly what he does. So we'll see that again. Paul closes out the letter in Philippians with the great encouragement of the saints or the brotherhood. The brethren greet you, he says, verse 21. Salute every saint. All the saints salute you. The emphasis of that again, as he talks in 2 Corinthians, of the equality, the brotherhood coming together, the brotherhood locking arms and saying, I'm willing to supply a need. I'm willing to supply a want. Wherever I can. In this month of November, as we think about our great attitude of gratitude, we're going to see, Lord, what could I do to be a blessing? How can I help out? In what way would you burden my heart to be there for somebody else in some way, some capacity? What is it that I could do? I hope you'll pray about that with me, all right? All righty. I'll let you folks get home tonight. I know you got a long week ahead of you, and I'll be praying for you. Obviously, hope you have a good week. And staying faithful with the Lord and to the Lord and focused on Him. And then don't forget, you're able to be out here tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock for the Institute. We'd love to see you then. Alrighty? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this evening and an opportunity to look at and think about that, Lord, you not only supply all our need. Father, you've done that in order for us to be a help and a blessing to somebody else around us. And we don't always see that. We don't always know that. We don't know people's needs particularly. We don't know what they're going through all the time. And Lord, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to direct us, Father, by the Holy Spirit. It may be somebody we have no idea, not even on our radar right now, but you may lay them on our heart There may be a need within the church that you may put upon the heart of one of our people to help supply. I speak to people tonight, dear saints of God, I know that literally have sacrificed in order for our church to be where it is today. And I thank you for each one of them here tonight. Lord, I pray, though, that you'd help each one of us as we pray about that. Lord, lead us and guide us. Help us to do our part. Thank you for gracing us today to be in your church. Bless our children. Bless our marriages. Bless our work tomorrow and then leading throughout the week. Give us your strength. Answer our prayers, Lord. We plead for that. We can't wait to see what you're going to do with us, Father. You do your best work with a church like us, God, and I can't wait to see that. We love and thank you again for a day to spend in your house, around you and around the Word of God and around the saints of God, the brethren. In Jesus' name, amen.